Namaste. For today's reflection, since we are on the Darshan Day, 24th April, and as we know, this Darshan Day started as a Darshan Day in 1938 because Sri Aurobindo had physically an accident. It looked like an accident, but it was the action of the hostile forces. Because in a moment of night when they are very active and Sri Aurobindo's whole concentration was on protecting the mother, and it was the year when the World War II was coming on the ascendant. So they knew that as long as mother and Sri Aurobindo are there, we cannot have the last word. So they quietly attacked him, and Sri Aurobindo says, because I was busy protecting the mother, it never occurred to me that they will even dare. So we have to be vigilant inwardly. It is not outwardly, but we have to be vigilant inwardly. And the mother received immediately. She had the call and she felt it by her vibration. She came quickly, immediately. And seeing Sri Aurobindo, then the rest happened. Nirodha, Dr. Manilal, all these people came. And Nirodha describes how Sri Aurobindo was lying like a golden Purusha. But at the same time, what happened as a result, this was 23rd November night. And 24th November morning was the Darshan. So the Darshan could not take place. So among those who had come for the Darshan was also President Woodrow Wilson's daughter, later named Nishtha. But look at it, how one should have the true surrender. The Darshan could not take place. There were people who were disappointed, but not she. She took it in the perfect way. Sri Aurobindo says equanimity is the strong foundation of this yoga. With that equanimity, she accepted, and of course everybody accepted. But in the evening, the mother came, she gave a balcony darshan, and you know, people were, or darshan inside, not the balcony darshan, and people's heart were uplifted. But still, they missed the opportunity to, you know, have darshan of Sri Aurobindo. So, then came February. Even February, there was no darshan. So then, February and August, there is a long period. So then, during that phase, at the pleadings of people and the mother herself, when she said, Sri Aurobindo agreed to give the 24th April, 39, 38 was the accident, 39, 24th April, there was the first time 24th April was included in the list of darshans. Otherwise, it was not included in the list of darshans. There was these three darshan days, Sri Aurobindo's birthday, the mother's birthday, later on 24th November, and then subsequently 24th April, it was the last darshan day out of a special grace of the Divine Mother. Now they are coming together, which is the main thing about 24th April. Even they came together on 29th March, but they had to both be more ready for the kind of work. Now this work is not based on just having some profound inner experiences. Both of them had the highest possible experiences of traditional yoga. But even then, this work cannot be done. So both mother and Sri Aurobindo in their own places, Pondicherry and the mother in France and Japan, they are readying themselves for the world mission, which is not about giving some liberation, giving a path, one of the standard paths to liberate people. Then they didn't need any further preparation, but they needed it to carry the world's burden. So therefore, they each go, and then the mother arrives on 24th April, and actually, physically, they come together again on 24th November 1920, because 6 months he stayed in different houses. But on 24th November, because of a cyclone, Sri Aurobindo sends Nalinida and those few others, Bijoy and Amritada, to fetch the mother to guest house, which is on 41 Francois Martin Street, the guest house, which is now the playground, the backside of the playground. So that is how the mother and Datta, her husband had left and gone away. They both came and started staying in the same house as Sri Aurobindo. That happened on 24th November 1920. And since then, together they started a new yoga, the yoga of the new age. So, we know about the yoga, at least those of us who have read in theory and those of us who practice, the yoga begins to unfold itself. And the yoga has to be discovered within. It is not enough to know about yoga. Sri Aurobindo reminds in one of his letters to Nirodh Baran, to Barinda, that I do not want to make emotional excitement and mental enthusiasm the basis of the yoga. But my yoga has to be built on a strong and secure foundation of a vast equanimity. It cannot be built on all these just a little bit of emotional fervor, little bhakti, little dancing, little jumping, or just a mental enthusiasm, playing with ideas, thoughts, philosophy, systems. No, it has to be on a much solid foundation. So he speaks about that foundation in that letter. He also tells Barinda that the defect of the old yogas was that they could not synthesize the spirit and matter. At the most, they had experiences in the mind, which is wonderful. No doubt, it keeps the memory alive in the race that there is something as the divine, something worth living for, something worth knowing. But it doesn't lead to the complete unitive experience of the spirit and matter of God and world, of creator and the creation. That's why in those yogas, we see that ultimately the trend is towards nirvana and regarding this world as an illusion. And Shrivindu says, but if this is what, if someone here or there may indeed obtain this featureless liberation, but what is the gain? The spirit, the self, the divine is always there. So what is the purpose of all this? What the divine wants is for man to embody him here in the individual and in the collectivity to realize God in life. What kind of spiritual perfection is it if a few ascetics, renunciates, holy men and realized beings attain liberation? If a few devotees dance in a frenzy of love, God intoxication and bliss, and an entire race devoid of life and intelligence sinks to the depths of darkness and inertia. This is not what he wants. He wants us to embody the divine within this physical being and this physical existence. First, one must have all sorts of partial experience on the mental level, flooding the mind with spiritual delight and illuminating it with spiritual light. Afterwards, one climbs upwards. Unless one makes this upward climb, this climb to the supramental level, it is not possible to know the ultimate secret. And what is that ultimate secret? Then one need no longer look on the world as an illusion. The world is an eternal play of God, the perpetual manifestation of the self. And the coming together of Mother and Sri Aurobindo, they represent the Prakriti side, as Shakti, not as Prakriti. What we know as Prakriti is, we can say her daughter, her child, who is struggling in ignorance. But who is the mother? Shakti. She becomes Maya and she becomes Prakriti. Just as Purusha is a diminished aspect of the divine, Ishvara, he becomes Brahman and he becomes the individual, the Purusha, the soul, or the witness of nature, depending on which way we realize. So we have to take Purusha and Prakriti to that point where we realize the unity of Ishvara and the Shakti. And the practical means to do it is to see the Mother and Sri Aurobindo as one. So these are few letters of Sri Aurobindo we'll read. There is no difference between the Mother's path and mine. We have and have always had the same path. The path that leads to the supramental change and the divine realization. Not only at the end, but from the beginning they have been the same. Mother was doing yoga before she knew or met Sri Aurobindo. But their lines of sadhana independently followed the same course. When they met, they helped each other in perfecting the sadhana. What is known as Sri Aurobindo's yoga is the joint creation of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. The mother's consciousness and mine are the same. The one divine consciousness in two. Because that is necessary for the play. Now we see Sri Aurobindo comes from above as a knowledge power, as a vast knowledge power descending from above, taking hold of the mind and the rest of our being. And the mother emerges as an all-powerful love from the depths of the heart, and again she comes to the surface, spreads into the mind, the heart, the life, and even the body in this flood of love, and in this illuminating light she takes hold of the entire being and transforms it. So the action is twofold, from above and from within, from beyond the mind and from within the depths of the heart. But they are one, and that's why the mother reminds us, when in your heart and thought you will make no difference between Sri Aurobindo and me. What is the sign that we are really ready now for the supramental change? When in your heart and thought you will make no difference between Sri Aurobindo and me. When to think of Sri Aurobindo will be to think of me, and to think of me will mean to think of Sri Aurobindo inevitably. When to see one will mean inevitably to see the other, like one and the same person. Then you will know that you begin to be open to the supreme, to the supramental force and consciousness. This is the state to which we have to arrive at. And for those of us who have already arrived at that state, by her grace, we have to go deeper, deeper, further and further into this most wonderful journey, which frees us from all fear. Even a little practice of it frees us from fear. Svalpamasya dharmasya trayato bhayato mahat. Even a little practice of this yoga frees us from much fear and anxiety. It frees us from ignorance, this mistake of identifying ourselves with the body and the ego self and all that rest of it. And it frees us from all types of bondages, social, moral, intellectual, ideative, we are so opinionated, and desires and all the various bonds that tie us, and eventually it is bound to free us even from the so-called inevitability of death. So let us welcome and celebrate this change in humanity, which is as certain as tomorrow's sun. Namaste.